Begin the current daf, Masechet Chulin daf Chof Aleph. Begin 7 lines down by the top of the Yamid. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is, our previous mission was discussing the laws of our Perek, our Masechet, of Shechita, in contrast to Malika, which are done on a bird carbon. So that the Gemara had said a halacha from Ze'iri, that he said that if there's an animal that its neck bone and the majority of its flesh in the back got broken, so then the animal's automatically in the veil. So that the Gemara had asked, related to the topic of our Mishnah of Malika, had asked them, what's the utility of Malika? Malika is you take the fingernail of the kohen and you slice it through the back of the neck by the nape of the animal, which cuts through the neck bone and the majority of the flesh. So the animal's already dead before you hit the simanim. What's the utility of doing Malika, of cutting the pipes, if you're doing it on a dead bird? So the Gemara answered, and as the Gemara brought an incident with Reb Zeira, that actually what Malika you have to do is that you, although you cut through the neck bone, you don't cut the majority of the flesh. It's only considered an avela the way Reb Zeira had said, if you do both of those. You only cut through the neck bone, cut the pipes, and then you cut the majority of the flesh, so therefore it wasn't an avela, and therefore it's all part of the Malika slash Shechita of the bird, and therefore that's the utility and the validity of that Malika. Says the Gemara, Tanam Hoch is similar in the Brice like this. Brice says, Ketzad Molken Chatas Leif. How do we do Malika on the bird chatas? Says the Braisa, Chaytech Shedru Umafarekes. So you cut the spine and the spinal cord below your eye buster without the majority of the flesh. Ah, Shemegi Leveshet Oilakon until you hit one of the pipes, either the esophagus, the food pipe, or the con of the trachea, the windpipe. Shemegi Leveshet Oilakon, you hit one of those pipes. I mean, you cut it. Chaytech Simen Echad Eruba, then you cut one of those two pipes, or a majority of it, because actually by the chatas leif, specifically the bird chatas, the pasuk says lo yavdil, you shouldn't separate the head from the body, as the pasuk says in Meyikra by one of those karbonis of oil b'yared of shmiyas akel. If someone heard testimonies and is not testifying falsely, meaning he should be testifying, is not. So therefore, cutting one of the two pipes is enough because a bird, the validity is with one simen, and there's no obligation of cutting the second pipe of havdalah because you don't do havdalah bechatas oif. And then, v'rei baster imay. Then after you did Malika on that simon, then you cut the majority of the flesh of the back of the neck with it, exactly like we said before, because the relish would be in the veil before you ever cut the pipes. Rather, you cut the pipes, and then you do the majority of the flesh afterwards. Continues the Braisa, uba'ayla, by a oila sa'if, where there actually you need havdalah, as the Gemara later on is going to elaborate on this, and you have to separate the body from the head. Then you have to cut shnayim, both pipes, ayreif shnayim, or at least the majority of both pipes. Now, the Gemara asks, now that we introduced this Braisa, which supported what the Gemara Rabba's approach had been for the teaching of Zeir from the previous Daf, the Gemara wonders, now Mani, who's the time of this Braisa? Because E Rabbanon, which the Gemara later on is going to explain in this Sugya, this Machlekes Rablaz, Reb Shimon and Rabbanon, but as we're going to show, E Rabbanon, Ha'amri Shnayim Dafka, they say, you can't have the majority of both pipes. You have to cut all, the entirety of both pipes. So how could you say Shnayim or Reiv Shnayim? And E Rablaz, Reb Shimon, and if it's like Rablaz, Reb Shimon, he says, no, specifically, it could only be the majority of both pipes, and not more. As Gemara is going to teach on the continuation on the next daf, that you actually have to be holding on to, when you're doing the hazah, the animal has to have its head attached to its body, so that you don't separate. And if both pipes are cut, then it's not going to be attached. So how could you say shnayim or reiv shnayim? That's according to mutually exclusive opinions. So the Gemara says, Ema, yes, say that's what the Braisa is saying. When it says Shnayim or Reiv Shnayim, it's going according to two different opinions. When it's saying you cut Shnayim by the Oila Sa'if, that's L'Rabbanan. When it says Reiv Shnayim, that's L'Rabbanan, Reiv Shimon. It's saying both opinions accordingly in this halacha of Oila Sa'if. Or if you want, you could say, actually, Habahar Rablaz Reiv Shimon. No, both of these ideas of cutting Shnayim or Reiv Shnayim is according to Rablaz Reiv Shimon. Now, Omai Shnayim, what does it mean, both? As we said, as we'll explain later on, he holds actually you're not allowed to cut the entirety of both pipes. It means shedoimim lishnayim, when it looks like you cut both pipes. Because actually, the katchila initially, you need to cut a clear-cut majority of the pipes, so that it should look like it was a majority. That's what it means when it says shnayim. When it says orayv shnayim, it means even just a bare minimum of a majority, which is not so ideal. Really want to do a real good majority. But again, it doesn't really mean totally cut, because it's going like a blazer b'shem, and the world, you're not allowed to cut the entirety of both pipes. Now, continuing on this theme of the previous discussion, which is from Ze'iri from the previous daf, regarding the breaking of the spinal column. So Amar Yehuda Mishmul says, Nishba mafrekis, if the spinal cord of a person breaks, v'rei basar ima, and the majority of the flesh over there also breaks with it, Metama ba'oil, such a person is considered dead. He transmits tumah if someone's in that same overhead, in that same canopy, in the same area. Now, and says Rabbi Yehuda Mashmul, Be'im Tamid, if you're going to say, Eise Maise de Eli, what are we going to do then with that incident of Eli HaKayin brought in Tanakh, that Mafrekis Blei Roiv Basar Havya? That was the breaking of his spinal cord without the majority of his flesh breaking, like the Pasuk calls him dead. It says, Vateshavim Mafrakasa Be'yamas, says that his spinal column broke and he died. Says the Gemara, that's not difficult, that's Ziknashani. Since he was elderly, that's different. That's like the Pasuk says Shmuel Aleph. Says by he kaskirias aroinalikim, when he recalled the Aron, the Ark of God, which was taken in captivity, the yipa malakisa haranis, and he fell from his chair backwards ba'ad yad hashar, by the opening of the doorway, vatishava mafrakasa v'yamis, and his spinal column broke and he died. Kizakin ish v'kaved v'gamer, because the man was elderly and heavy, that's why. But generally, to be considered dead, to be metam in the oil, person not only does his spinal column have to break, but also the majority of the flesh. Now, additionally, Amr b'Shmuel ben Nachmena, Amr b'Yechon, it says karoy kedag. If someone tears open the person like a fish, where they just tear open the length of the fish, metam ba'oil, a person will also again already can be considered totally dead and transmit tuma in the oil, even if he's still what's called mefacheses, he's still shaking, still he's considered dead already. Now, Amr b'Shmuel ben Yitzchak, he qualifies it umigabai, only if they had torn the person on his length from his back. Now, continuing on these halachas, Amr b'Shmuel says aso gistera. If a person made an animal into a gistera, which is that he cut him either in his width by the entire, or he cut the entirety of the neck, or in the spine, or going up until the cavity of the person, meaning anything that's split into two is called gistera. Again, nevela, the animal is already considered dead. It's considered nevela. So too, Omer Belazri says, Nitl hayarich. If the thigh is taken off the animal from where it's connected, meaning from the joint where it's connected to the body, and the chalol shalah nikr, and the cavity of it is recognizable. In other words, not only is the bone of the thigh taken away with some of the inner flesh, but there's still some of the outer flesh and the skin covering up until halfway of where the thigh was, or a third of it, but it's covering the area of the injury. That's what we're not talking about, because that actually would only qualify the animal as a treif, as a mortal defect. As the Mishnah says later on, the Ein Vav Min Aleph, an animal that its legs will cut, which are the hind legs, if it's from the knee and up, it's considered treif. It's a mortal defect. It's not going to survive, but it's not considered nevela. What we're talking about is, if all of the flesh was taken away, up until that the hole, the cavity of where it was cut from, which is visible like a cavity, then nevela. Then the animal is considered nevela, even though it's technically still alive, it will transmit tumah like a nevela. Says Gemara, Hechadam Echalal Shalom Nikah, what does this mean, that the cavity of it is recognizable? So Amar Rabbi says, Kol Shiravutza Beniris Chasara, that when it's crouching, you could see what it's missing. Meaning, because it's normal for an animal to lay down and crouch on its thighs. And at that time, then its legs are covered, its thigh is covered when it's crouching. But if you could see that it's missing that thigh, even when it's laying, so that's going to be already be considered as a nevela. Now, continuing a related discussion, the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, we learned over there, in the Mishnah Masechtas Olos, and say the Taris, which is talking about the Shmoyna Shratzim, which are the eight creepy creatures, which when they're dead, they transmit tumah. So the Mishnah says over there, Hutzu Rishain, if their heads were chopped off, because they transmit them when they're dead. So tumah, if their head was chopped off, Afa Pishim Shemav Chasin, even if they're still shaking about, Tameim, they transmit tumah. Because since, like we said before, you made them into gistera, you chopped them in half, even though it wasn't totally detached, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, they're already considered like they're dead, and when they're dead, they transmit tumah. As the Mishnah says, Kizan of Haltash Mefrachesas, like the tail of a lizard that shakes. In other words, even though it's shaking, that's not a sign of its being alive, because the tail of the lizard was totally detached. It's obviously not alive. It's not even connected to the lizard itself. Because when we're saying Vehi Mefrachesas, what we mean to say is that the cut tail is shaking, but it's obviously not alive. That's the same thing with the Shmoyna Shratzim. If you cut off the head, even if it's still shaking, it's considered dead, and it's already going to transmit tumah. Says the Gemara, my hutsu, what does it mean that the head was cut off? So Rish Lakish, he says, hutsu mamash means literally he was cut off. Rabasi, Rabmani, he says, kavdalas oila sa'if. The way the head of the bird oila is cut off, that's what we mean in this Mishnah, that the head of the sheretz was cut off. Now, Amalei Rabimel Rabasi, he asked him to clarify what he was saying in the name of Rabmani. What do you mean? Kavdalas oila sa'if l'rabbanan? Are you mean to say the way the Rabban hold that the head of the Eilas Eif is cut off, which is totally separated? Because they hold, as we're going to shortly clarify, that all of the Simanim need to be cut? And therefore, V'loy Pelgisu, therefore you don't dispute the first interpretation of Rosh Lakish, because that's the same thing as the total head being chopped off. Idemo, maybe Kavdalas Eilas Eif L'Rabban Elazar Reb Shimon, maybe what you were saying was, is that the way Reb Elazar Reb Shimon holds that the Eilas Eif its head has to be cut off, which is not all the way, actually only the majority. And that's what you were interpreting in the Mishnah Masechet Lasalas, and therefore Pligisu, and therefore you do disagree and dispute Rosh Lakish, because you're saying it's going to be Mitami even if only majority of the head was cut off. So Amalei, he answered him, Kavdalas Eilas Eif L'Rabban Reb Shimon Upagininan. He says, yes, we disagree with Rosh Lakish. We were saying, like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, that even if only majority of the head was cut off, like Eilas Eif, that only majority is allowed to be cut off, that's what we mean to say, that it's going to be really considered Hutsu and transmit Toma. Igadami, that those that say what we just had explained, that actually Rabasi had explicitly said his opinion that he's going like the separation of the head of the Eilas Eif, like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, and not that it was asked by Reb Yirmiyah from him. Because there are those who say it straight up, that Reb Shimon Malakash Amar, he says Hutsu Mamash, it means literally the head was cut off. And Reb Asi Amar Reb Man, he says Kavdalas Eilas Eif, Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, Berev Shnayim, that he said it straight up. He said, no, like the way Eilas Eif's head is cut off, like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, which is only the majority of the two pipes, not all of the two pipes, and not that all the head was cut off, is already considered Hutsu and Bimetamen. So now that we mentioned this in two contexts, this machlekes of Rabbanan and Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, so the Gemara says, my Rabbanan and my Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, what is this machlekes that we are referencing? So says the Gemara, the time that like we learned in the Braisa. The Pasuk says in Mayikra, and this takes us all the way to the end of the daf, to the top of the following daf. The Pasuk says in Mayikra by the obligatory Eilas Saif. There's Eilas Saif, a bird Eila. It could be donated or it could be an obligation. When is it an obligation? For example, like by Shmias HaKel, when someone had heard and he knows testimony, he's not testifying. The halacha is that if he's wealthy, he brings a certain type of a carbon, which this is known as oil of a yirid. Depending how much money you have, it depends what type of carbon you bring. If he's not so wealthy, he brings a poor carbon, which is a bird carbonus. Now, right before it talks about this pasuk that we're quoting here, Mayikra, which is by the obligatory oil of Saif, it talks about, well, what happens if he's wealthy? Where then he brings a chatas behem, he brings an animal chatas. And that's all that he brings. But if he can't afford an animal chatas, so then the pasuk says, he brings a chatas ha'oif, a bird chatas, and v'sasheni yasa oila kemishpat, and the second bird, you make an oila according to its rule, according to its law. Now, when it says kemishpat, that sounds like a law that was already set down somewhere else. So what's it referring to? Says the Tanakhama, kemishpat chatas behema, it's referring to the law of the animal chatas, which was in the parasha right before this. Because this oila sa'if, which is coming with a chatas sa'if, is taking the place of the chatas behema, which he can't afford to bring. So therefore, it's comparing it to that, and we're going to learn that halachas, when it's saying kamishbad, from the chatas behema, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, which that's only from chulin, and during the daytime, and so on. We're going to learn that out to say that so too, those are the laws that apply to this oila sa'if. Well, that says the Tanakhama, is that so? Is that what the Pasuk means when it says Kamishbad, like the law of the Chatzis Behema, which was mentioned in the previous parasha, if he's wealthy? Or maybe it's referring to the law that applies to the bird Chatzis, which is actually written right before it, where it says the Chatzis Behema if he's wealthy. If he's not so wealthy, he brings a Chatzis Sa'if, and the second one is Oila Sa'if. But right before that, it talks about the Chatzis Sa'if in this person who's Dal, who's not so wealthy. And what would we be comparing the Eila Saif to the Chatzis Saif? Would be that actually, that this Eila Saif would not require the separating of the head from the body when you're doing Malika. Because by the Chatzis Saif, it says that you do it Mimul or Pay from the nape, and that V'lo Yavdal, and you don't separate. And we would be saying that the Eila Saif maybe is like the Chatzis Saif that you don't separate. And that's at the Tanakhama, no. We're not learning it out from the Chatzis Saif. Because Keshuaima, when the Pasuk says elsewhere, Vihi Krivoi, which this is a Pasuk in Mayikra, by the Oila Sa'if of Nadava, when someone's donating a bird Oila, which he's allowed to, the Pasuk says over there, Vihi Krivoi HaKoin El Mizbeach, the Koin's going to bring it near to the Mizbeach, Umalak Es Reisha, and he's going to do Malika on its head, and the end of the Pasuk. Now, the fact that it doesn't say Vihi Kriv, which would sound like it's going on that, rather said Vihi Krivoi, you bring it near, that sounds like that's Cholik hakasev bin chata sa'if lo oila sa'if. That the pasuk is differentiating between the bird chatas and the bird oila. Where it's saying v'krivoy, that as if this is what you sacrifice, that there's a different hakrava of this oila sa'if from the way you makriv other bird karbanas. So the pasuk is revealing to you that you don't learn out the malika of oila from the malika of chatas. So therefore, omani mekam kamish. But so then, what am I going to understand from saying by the oila saif like its law? Obviously, it's not going back on the chatas saif because the decree already says you don't do the hakrava of the oila saif like other oifas, meaning that of the chatas saif. Rather, it's kamish but chatas behemah is coming to tell you like it's the law of the chatas behemah, which teaches us the following halachas. Ma chatas behemah, just like the animal chatas. Einabo only comes, as we continue to mitzvahs, ela menachulin, only from unconsecrated monies, meaning you cannot bring a karban chatas from meiser sheni monies, as the Gemara on the next daf learns out, how do you know chatas behemah itself cannot be brought from meiser sheni monies, only from chulin. But just like by the chatas behemah has to be from unconsecrated monies. Ubayayim, and also the karban chatas could only be sacrificed during the daytime. As the pasuk says, by the pariyah mikipurim, the bull that Kohen Gadol brings in Kippurim, it says, "Ki b'yoyim hazeh chapalechem." And this day there's going to be atonement for you. So you see, it has to be during the daytime. And third of all, "Ubiyadeh hayemanis." All the avodas of the chatas are only valid if it's done with the right hand, as the pasuk says, "V'lokach hakohen medam chatas be'etzboy." The kohen takes from the blood of the chatas with his finger, which the Gemara Menachos, the first paragraph of Yerem Anav, tells us wherever it says "etzba and kahuna," it's telling us it has to be with the right hand. So those three halachas that apply to chatas behema is what it's when we're saying kamish, but in here by the oila saif is telling us af oila saif. So too for the bird oila, eina ba ela menachulin or bayayim or bayada yaman. This is telling us that all these three halachas too can only be brought from chulin during the daytime and with the right hand. Now Rashi points out that why did the Tanna Kamma have to say that kamish but it's going in chatas behema? Why couldn't he say, as the more simple understanding is, that it's going on the chatas saif, which was said right before that? And we would learn that all these three halachas from the chatas saif. Just like chatas saif is brought from chulin during the daytime with the right hand, because all those halachas of chatas behema apply to chatas saif too. And therefore, we could have learned that oila saif from chatas saif. Now, although Ritana Kamat said you cannot learn that oila saif from chatas saif because it says behikrivui, which tells us that it's different, it's distinct oila saif from chatas saif, says Rashi, maybe that's for whatever it's distinct. Yes, to tell you that the oila saif is different than the chatas saif regarding havdalah. But for everything else, why do you have to learn that mishpat, kamishpat from the chatas behemah, learn it from the chatas saif? Says Rashi, it's not a difficulty at all, because the chatas saif doesn't say in its context explicitly that it has to be brought from chulin. Rather, it only says it by the animal chatas, as the Gemara is going to tell us later on in the next daf. It's only from a hekesh that we know that chatas saif is called the chatas, and the chatas behemah is called the chatas. That's how we know that the chatas saif also has these halachas. But it itself was learned out from a hekesh, the chatas behemah. Now, anything that itself was learned out from a hekesh cannot go ahead and teach to something else in the hekesh, which is what this kamishpat is, in the laws of kachem, as the Gemara says in Zvachim Mem Tesma Beis. In the entire Torah, you could learn out something that's learned out from something else, except from kachem, and therefore we couldn't learn it out the oila saif from the chatas saif, and therefore to learn out these halachas, Tanna Kamma says, kamishpat is learning out from the chatas behemah mentioned in the previous parsha. Now, however, continues the Tanna Kamma, so you would think, okay, let's go all the way. Imala halon if, just like over there, by the animal, by the chatas behema, it's valid, b'roiv shnayim, with cutting the majority of the two pipes. Sa'afkan, also over here, by the oila sa'if, b'roiv shnayim, would be enough by cutting the majority of the two pipes of the esophagus and the trachea. Tamalayma, that's what the pasuk has to teach us, by the oila snedava, by the donated oila, it says, umalak, that it cuts off the head, it cuts through the head, v'hikter, and he sacrifices on the mizbeach. And it says over there in the pasuk, "V'nimtza dame," and you spray the blood on the mizbeach. Now, the difficulty with this pasuk is, how could you say it the way it says it in that chronological order? If the pasuk says "V'hikta mizbeach," that you sacrifice and burn it on the mizbeach, how could the next word then say "V'nimtza dame"? You squeeze out the blood. You can't squeeze out the blood after you already burnt the animal on the mizbeach. Rather, the Gemara tells us that it's coming to compare the malika to how you do the haktar, which is mahaktara, just like the burning of the oilas ha'ayif, ha'roish ba'atzmai, ba'guv ba'atzmai, the body, the head is separate, and the body is separate. How do we know that? So the Brisa teaches in Teretz Kayanim that the way we know that haktara, the body is separate from the head, is because when it says after this haktara, it says, b'shisa oisa b'chnafav, it says that you separate the animal by its wings, you split it open, v'iktarais, and you burn it. Now, that's obviously saying about burning the body of the bird. So then what do I mean when it says before that already, that v'hikter? Obviously that's referring to the haktara of the head. Obviously there are two different haktaras, and the shesua, the separation of the body, is between them because you burn the head separately from the body. So that's what the pasuk is comparing. Af malika, so too regarding the malika, harayish ba'atzmai, va'guf ba'atzmai, that the head's going to be by itself and the body's going to be by itself. That's what it means to say that shnayim, that you have to cut through all the way to be the two pipes cut, to have them in two different pieces. Now, although technically it could still be attached by the skin of the bird, that's still considered as if they're separated, as the Gemara said in the previous daf, that malika, the Torah tells us, that you have to have this havdalah. Now, malika is like shchita. Whatever applies to shchita applies to havdalah, and the skin that doesn't apply to shchita, so therefore that's not integral regarding the laws of havdalah. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask that since you're learning out the law of separation, that the oila sahayiv has to be totally separated from here, which is comparing malika to haktara, so then why does the Tanna Kamma require the krivui to differentiate between the chata sahayiv and the oila sahayiv? Of course. Here by the oila sahayiv it says explicitly, like you're learning from malk vehikta, you have to separate. And there by the chata sahayiv it says explicitly, by the chata behema, lo yavdu, you're not allowed to separate it. So why would I need the krivui to make that differentiation if you're already knowing that from malk vehikta, that we're going to learn this stuff on the following omen on Chav Beis and Aleph. This was the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, he gives a different interpretation. He says, no. Kamishba, when it says that the oila sa'if, this second oila sa'if by the carbon oil b'yayrid, that you do kamishba like it's like the rule, what's that referring to? Kamishba tchata sa'if. It's referring to the law of the bird chatas, which was mentioned right before, not the previous parasha of the chatas behema. Now, what are we comparing the oila sa'if to the chatas sa'if? Is that because by the chatas it says, where do you do malika? Mimul orpai. You do it that's opposite the back of the head, which means the nape, the back of the neck. Now, the truth is, by malika, by the oilas nedava, it doesn't tell us where it is. It just says, umolakas reisha v'hikter, you do malika on the head, and you sacrifice it. Moreover, it doesn't say malika at all by the oila, only by that of the nedava. So where is it that you do malika by the oila sa'if? So we learn that one from the other, which is what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. You learn that ma chata sa'if mimbul arif, just like malika by the bird chatas you do from the back of the neck, af oila sa'if mimbul arif, that's what we're learning out also over here, that the oila sa'if you do from the back of the neck. Now the Gemara later on is going to ask, and so where does the Tanna Kamma know this halacha from? He can't know it from Kamishbad, because he's learning that out from chatas beima, and not learning it from chatas sa'if. Now additionally, the three halachas that the Tanna Kamma was learning from Kamishbad, which is the svaris of that the oila sa'if has to be bought from chulin and has to be sacrificed during the daytime and with the right hand, which the Tanna Kamma had learned from Chatas Behema, from Kamishbut, but Rabbi Shmuel is not learning out from Chatas Behema, he's learning from Chatas Aif. And that says Rashi that Rabbi Shmuel actually learns that out from the oila s'cheva, from the obligatory oila, meaning because there's a hekesh in Sefer Vayikra that says, V'zei, this is the law, la'oila, mincha, l'chatas, it says all the karbanas there in that pasuk, which the Gemara elsewhere tells us that that's comparing all the karbanas one to the other, and therefore we learn that all karbanas from the chatas, which is how the Gemara Menachas Amid Beis explains. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel understood that when we're comparing oila to chatas, we're comparing whether oila is behema or oila sa'if. So that's the source where oila sa'if is like chatas behema, to learn that these halachas that apply to chatas behema, which the Tanna Kamma is learning from Kamishbut, Rabbi Shmuel learns that from Zei Satayra, to tell you that it has to be chulin during the daytime and in the right hand. However, Rashi explained the Tanna Kamma didn't know it from that hekesh because he understood that pasuk only talking about behemoth animal sacrifices like shlam and nashim, and therefore he didn't know it from there. Rather, he learns it from Kamishba. Now, however, Rabbi Shmuel continues, similar to like the Tanna Kamma had done in its comparison to chatas behema. He says, well, imala halan, if we're comparing oila sa'if to chatas sa'if, so maybe we should say, just like over there by the chatas sa'if, ma'ilik veinam avdil, you cut through the back of the neck, but you don't totally separate it, which is b'simen echad, with one of the two pipes that you cut, meaning to say that the malika is only done with one simen, and you leave the other simen still attached. Because as we said, by the chatas it says, v'lo yavdol, you're not allowed to separate. Now, since the validity of a bird when it's slaughtered is with one simen, because that's all it needs to slaughter a bird, then it's considered already dead. Now, whatever you're doing more than what's necessary is already considered why you're doing it. You already did your malika, you already did your shchita, that's because of separation. And by chatas tells us not to separate. So therefore, the whole simen, the first one that you're going to cut, that's part of the mitzvah of slaughtering by the bird. But therefore by malika, when you do malika on the entire first simen, that's not yet separating. But when you come to the second simen, Even there's not even a mitzvah tchil of cutting the second siman, as the Brisa says later on the Chav Zayin Mabeis, that you can't say that there's an obligation of cutting both simanim because it's already compared to a fish, as the Gemara there explains. So there's only obligation of cutting one siman. Moreover, there's actually you're not allowed to cut the second siman because that's already considered as Havdalah, and Chatas, we don't do Havdalah. It says not to do Havdalah. So we would think, okay, if we're comparing Oyla Seif to Chatas Aleif according to Rabbi Shmuel, so Avkan, Moilik Veinam Avdal B'Simen Echad. So therefore, maybe Oyla Seif should have the same halacha, that you do Malika and you don't separate, which means say you only cut one pipe and not both. Tamalayma Ve'Krivit, which according to Rabbi Shmuel, this is what Ve'Krivit is coming to tell us, which it seems like the Pasik in regarding to the Oylas Nadav is telling us that there's a separate Hakrava which is distinct and different than the Hakrava of a Karban Chatas. Now, so how does Rabbi Shmuel understand this? Since one pasuk is equating the oila seif to the chatas seif according to Bishmol, which is this pasuk hamishpat, but one pasuk is differentiating him, which is this pasuk of ikrivui. So it's logical that to compare it the way Rabbi Shmuel is doing it, which is what are we comparing oila seif to the chatas seif? Is for the area of where you do malik on, which is the back of the neck, and where is it differentiating it? It's differentiating regarding the law of separation that for havdalah you do by the oila seif, unlike the chatas seif. Now, what's the reason for this? Because Rabbi Shmuel really relies on the pasuk of V'malak V'hikter that the Tama Kama had brought, which is that's where he learns out from there that the head has to be separate and the body has to be separate. So then the question is, so why is he saying that he knows it from V'hikrivui, that that's where you separate it? That's because, as we can explain in the next daf, from V'malak V'hikter itself, without V'hikrivui, we wouldn't know that you have to separate it, as the Gemara is going to say for the Tama Kama, the next daf. Now, the reason is because it's obvious that Rabbi Shmuel holds, like the Rabbanan, that you have to cut the entirety of both pipes. Because since he explains that the hekesh of Kamishpat from Chatasayf to Eilasayf is regarding the area of Mul Arpay, of that you do it on the back of the neck, and that the separation of Eilasayf from Chatasayf from Vekriber is going on Havdalah, so you cannot say that, oh, okay, so it's not the same as Chatasayf, which you only do one pipe. Fine, but maybe you do the majority of both pipes. That says Rashi, you know, it's obvious Rabbi Shmuel is like the Rabban, you have to cut the entirety of both pipes because the pasuk doesn't tell us anything about two pipes, doesn't say anything about the majority of both pipes. It's just teaching us that you do a havdalah because it says by chatas seif v'lo yavdil, and then it says by olavi krivui to differentiate and say that no, it has a different akrava, that no, here you do require havdalah. And therefore, we would say whatever requires an element of shechita, that's what you have to separate. And therefore, as we said in the previous daf, even that little bit left over of the two simanim, which since it's in the category of shechita, so that would be required to do havdalah on. And therefore, the reason why we need to have the ikrivoy, and it's not enough for Malk Vehikta, we'll explain on the top of the next daf, just like the Tana Kama, you wouldn't know this halach of totally separating the two of them, because although the next opinion we're going to quote, the third opinion of Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, that he is different because he learns out that where do you know that it's the back of the neck by the Oyla Saif? He learns from Gzer Shava, as we're going to explain shortly. So he doesn't need the Hekesh of Kamishpat to learn that this halacha of Mul Urpai. So therefore, when you have Kamishpat that was teaching us to compare it to something before, he doesn't like to learn it off Mechatas Behemah because ultimately the last thing he was saying before Oyla Saif was the Chatas Saif. So he learns out from the Hekesh of Kamishpat to tell us, as we're going to shortly quote, that it means to say that when you're doing the Hazah, the head and the body have to still be attached with at least a little bit of those two simanim, that because he holds that the differentiation is, because like we explained, he learns it from a different source, that yes, that Oyla Seif is different than Chatas Seif, but not that you cut all of the two pipes, but rather the majority of both pipes, where it's not valid with just one simon. But like we're explaining, according to Bishmol, that he learns out the hekesh of Mul Oyref, he learns it out from Chata Sa'if, so that would sound like that the Kriva is telling us that it's totally different from the Chata Sa'if, where it's a total separation, because we know that you would still have it connected a little bit, like Rabbi Elazar Shimon says, with Mi'at Simanim, rather it's obviously Hosek Drabbanan, and again, therefore that's his interpretation, where you totally separate the two of them, and that's what we're learning out from Vikrivu, again, together with Umolak Vehikta. That was the second opinion. Elazar Shimon, he says, Kamishpat, yes, like Rabbi Shmuel had said, Kamishpat Chatas Oif, we're comparing it to Chatas Oif, not like it's on the Kamat Chatas Behema, but he learns it out differently. He says, Malal, just like over there, Bechatzis Leiv, as we contain the Tabav Chav Bezim and Alf. Oichiz Bereish Ubeguf Umazim, that you hold on to the head and the body, and you, that's how you spray the blood of the Chatzis Leiv on the Mizbeach. Meaning, after Malik, after you cut the neck, that's when you do the Hazah, as it says, by the Chatzis Leiv, by the, again, by Shmias Akol, by knowing testimony, not testifying, it says, Behizim Adam Chatzis after Malik is when you do the Hazah. So just like Bechatzis Leiv, that's how you do Hazah. Afkan oichiz bereish ubeguf umaze. So to hear by the oilas, if it's teaching us that you hold on to the head and the body, and that's how you spray. Now the Gemara asks, my comma, what exactly is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon saying? His words of oichiz bereish ubeguf, that you hold on to the head and the body, sounds like that literally the kohen has to hold on to both of them in the palm of his hand, and as if it's not enough to hold on to either the head or the body and spray like that. Where does he know that by chatzis if you have to hold on to both of them, the head and the body, as you spray? So the Gemara says, no, you're right, Hachikam, but this is what he's saying. Malahalan, just like over there by the Chatzis Leiv, Kishu Achuz HaRoiv Shbeguv, when the head is attached to the body, that's Maza, that's how you spray, because when you spray, the Pasuk says the Lo Yavdol, they're not allowed to be separated. The spraying has to be that the head is attached to the body. Afkan, also over here by the Oilas Leiv, Kishu Achuz HaRoiv Shbeguv Maza, when the head is attached to the body, that's how you spray. So therefore, that's how he understands the hekesh of chata saif to oila saif. The reason why is because he knows the halacha that Rabbi Shmuel wanted to learn now from chata saif of mul orpa, as the Gemara is going to later on explain, from exeris shava. And moreover, he doesn't learn kamishbat like the chata behema, because the last thing we learned was the chata saif, and therefore he learns it out for a different halacha that they have to be attached. Now, but continue to bless the b'shimin. Ima lahalin b'simanecha, but then I would say, okay, even further, say, if we're comparing it to the Chatzis Leiv, which we're saying you're not allowed to detach it, so to the Oilas Leiv, then say, just like by the Chatzis Leiv, you only cut one pipe, Afkam B'Semen Echad, also over here by the Oilas Leiv, you only cut one pipe. Tamalayma V'Hikrivui, that's what V'Hikrivui teaches us, that no, that it's a different type of a sacrifice than the Chatzis Leiv, which you do have to separate it on some level, which is that shita that we were quoting all along now from Elazar B'Shimon, that the two pipes that you cut by the Oilas Leiv is only Berubai. Not all the way, because that we're learning from Chatzis Leiv that it has to be attached. But however, this is that machlekes that we're referring all the way up until now, Rabbanan and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, that Rabbanan say, no, that you cut all the way. Like we said, Rabbi Shmuel agrees to that, that you have to cut all the way through. But Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, no, you don't cut all the way through, but you do cut both pipes, at least the majority, but not more than that. That's his opinion. That's what we're quoting all along now, up until now. Now, the Gemara clarifies, as we had alluded to the questions earlier, but down the comma, if he really knows that you have to separate it totally, the oila sa'if, the head from the body, from comparing malika to akhtara, just like the burning, the head is separately burned from the body, so to malika, so the krivu lamali. Why does he need, as he quoted, the krivu to differentiate, to say that, no, it's that the oila sa'if is not like the chata sa'if, that you only cut one simen, but we already know that from comparing malika to akhtara. So the Gemara, as we explained this, that Rabbi Shmuel agrees to the same idea too. Now, ila ve'krivui, if not for that extra pasuk ve'krivui, hava mina, I would have said, my kamishbat, not like the Tanakhama says, I would have said that kamishbat means kamishbat chatzis saif, because that's really the more simple understanding that's going right back on what it said right before that, that right before the oila saif was the chatzis saif, which actually tells us not to separate the head from the body, because the chatzis saif, its body is not separate, like the way Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says. Now, but then, how could I say that that's what kamishba means? Doesn't the Torah compare malika taktara that says that you do separate it and you have to do totally sever the way it's burnt? And that says the Gemara, no. Tanakhama would have said, havamina, I would say that you actually learn out for a different drush, a different exposition, that actually that's from where you learn out regarding the malika of the oila sa'if, that it's actually done on the upper half of the mizbeach, what's called above the chotasikah, the red string that goes along the middle of the Mizbeach. And I would have said that you know what it's teaching in Malik v'Hektar? Mahak Tar B'Reish Hashem Mizbeach, just like the burning of it is on the top of the Mizbeach, Af Malika B'Reish Hashem Mizbeach, so too the Malika of the Oilas Leiv is on the top of the Mizbeach. And you would need a special drasha for that, because in contrast, the Malika of the Chatzis Leiv is actually done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. As the Gemara learns in Zvachim Nav Samach Dalman Beis, when it says that you spray its blood al Kerem Mizbeach, it means the bottom half, as the it says the Parakaja Kashim over there. Now, since you need this umalak v'hikter to teach a different halacha, because you have to know where is it that you do it, so you say just like akhtar is on the top, so to malik is on the top, so therefore it's not strong enough to uproot the simple understanding of kamishbat that is going on what it said right before that, which is only on comparing it to Chatas Sa'if, not to Chatas Behema. Because technically you could expound the Hekesh of Malika and Akhtara regarding the Reisha Mizbech. And therefore then you would say the Hekesh of Kamishpat is actually to the contrary. That actually that the head and the body have to be connected, like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Oh, but that's what the Tanna Kamma said. But now that it says bikrivli, which obviously is totally uprooting the comparison of Oyla Soyas to Chatzasayf, and saying no, bikrivli, that you do this akroba different than all other birds. It's different than the Chatzasayf, which is totally differentiating according to Tanna Kamma that you don't learn that from Chatzasayf at all. Oh, so therefore you can't compare Oyla Soyas to Chatzasayf. So rather, that's when you say Kamishpat is going to compare it to the Chatzas Behema. And now, so Darish Beinami, so then we're going to expound now also from Umalik Vehikter, we're also going to learn that, ha, this halacha too, that we're totally going to compare the Akhtar to the Malika, both in regards that it has to be on the top of the Mizbech, and also in regards that the head has to be different than the body. We're only going to do that because we know you can't learn that from Chatzis Aif, from Vekrivli. Then now we'll expound that Umalik Vehikter means not just the majority of the pipes, but actually totally severed. That's the understanding of the Pin Tanna Kamma. But again, this is the source of this machlekes of the Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbanon hold that when you cut the Oyla Sa'if, you cut the entirety of the two pipes, it's totally separated. But Rabbi Shimon, he says, no, that you learn now from the Chata Sa'if, that it's not totally severed, but you do still learn now from Rekiva that a majority of it has to be severed. And that was, again, the machlekes that we mentioned two times on Amman Aleph, on Chaf Aleph Amman Aleph, that again, that he holds that it's not totally severed, but rather it's rubai of the bay's simonim that's cut by the oil asayf.